Excuse me, Pastor Tim will give me the thumbs up. Okay. So, good to see everybody this beautiful Tuesday. Yeah, it is good to be here. Today's lesson is a result of being gifted this little book a couple months ago. I read it probably in a day. It's by Mary Colbert, Don Colbert's wife, and it's called Prayer That Changes Everything. That's the title of the book. And underneath it says, Five Principles to Activate Your Faith. So, Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you for just your encouragement through this word about faith. And Lord, I pray that you would use it to just activate us, Lord God, and our faith constantly moving. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to, what God gave her, five principles, but I'm only going to talk about one, the first one, because it really spoke to me when I was reading the book. And let me do this first. This is chapter one, and there are just a couple of things I want to read to you. She says, it was Christmas night, 2014, and I was at the end of a long, fulfilling day spent with our son, his wife, and our grandchildren. Everyone else had gone to bed, but at 11 o'clock, I was still up finishing my labor of love, which had been cooking for and hosting the family. After a final few touches, I left the kitchen looking good for the morning. It was time for some well-earned sleep. And many of us who are wives and mothers, we can relate to that, right? You do all the prep, you do the cooking, you do the cleaning up, and you know you have family over, and you know you stay up late to make sure things are straight for the next day. And she said, you know, she was tired. She's ready to go to sleep. And she said, my body and mind were ahead of me. They just wanted to go unconscious. As soon as I lay down, the whole room lit up. It went from no light to bright as day in an instant. Then I heard a voice. It was not Don's, her husband. In fact, it was unlike any human voice I had ever heard. Still, my immediate reaction was, did I leave the radio on or the TV? She says, the voice sounded authoritative, booming. It was something I'd never heard before. She said, with a trembling soul, I realized I was hearing the Father, or maybe the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how all that works, but one thing was clear to me. God was speaking to me in my bedroom. Mary, this is what God said to her, you have been summoned by me. She says, every cell in my body shook in awe and fear. The word me carried with it an earth-shattering power. I knew this was God who could split rocks with a word and command worlds into being. I can't begin to describe the terror that coursed my body. Like the sound of a train roaring by, so was the vibration of God's very words and the basis of all reality. The voice continued, I want you to get a pen and a pad and write down. And she talks about doing that. And this, he gave her that night three of five principles that she outlines in this book. And kind of the end of the story is that she found herself orchestrating. She said, all those years, she had been content to be the wife of her husband, and we probably all know that name, Don Colbert, right? In the medical and health profession. And she was content just being his wife, and now God was calling her to do something significant. And I thought this was interesting because she ended up starting a prayer movement for the 2016 election from this visit that night. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is the first principle that God gave her, the principle of faith in constant motion. And she says, faith is like a river in constant motion, an ever-expanding force. And the fill-in there is, our faith should be that way too. Basically, you know, what she covers is the fact that faith is not stagnant. It should always be moving. And she says, if faith isn't constantly moving, it's dead. Like stagnant water of a pond that breeds bacteria and other harmful things, motionless faith breeds apathy, disappointment, and barrenness. And I thought about that. Have you ever, I mean, gosh, this is real kind of telltale. Don't know if I want to say this, but have you ever, I mean, ladies, I don't know about guys. Maybe guys do it more, especially if they're not married yet and they live by themselves. Have you ever left something in the sink too long? Like, you know, and, never. And so this is what I think about, you know, dead faith. And you go in your kitchen and you go, something doesn't smell good, you know? If water sets too long and it's not moving, it just picks up whatever is in the environment and it doesn't smell too good, right? Well, she's saying faith is like that. If it's not moving, if it's not constantly moving, growing, our faith can get stagnant and it's not very productive. She says faith is supposed to be always growing, ever increasing. And when I read that, I thought about, because Dr. Fred Price had this book years ago, and I think the title of it was Ever Increasing Faith, you know, and I thought about that. It says, faith finds ways to move past obstacles and continues to roll on powerfully toward its goal. Even if its energy and speed is diminished by an obstacle, faith picks up speed as soon as it goes past. You know, we can think about that, a stream, you know, a river. I was in the mountains in July, and Debbie and I, there's this drive up the Blue Ridge Parkway, and it's called Las Cruces something. It's a bridge that they built, and when you drive driving to it, at some point in the drive, you feel like you're just going to keep straight and just go right into heaven. I mean, it just look up into the sky. It just looks like that. Well, we got off at one of the little exits, and we actually walked under the bridge. And we got to a point, and there was this little trickling stream, and it looked like it was coming out of the rock. And there was debris there that could stop it up. But that water was pushing itself out of the rock and had made like a little gusher and going down the side of this path we were walking on. So think about our faith that way. You know, even if there's an obstacle, faith pushes past it. You know, it may slow it down, the obstacle, but with persistent faith, we can push past the obstacle. Then faith leads to increase. She gave in the book the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I put that little reference in B there because, and if you look at C, it says, and this was in 2018, it says that there was recent archaeological evidence has found signs of collapse-inducing heat, perhaps as hot as the surface of the sun. And she said her thought about that, it was like fire and brimstone. And the story how she interprets Sodom and Gomorrah is based on God's command in the beginning that man was to reproduce. He was to, expand the earth. And because of the perversion that had come to Sodom and Gomorrah, they were not obeying that commandment. And there was something in our discussion today we were talking about, just some things that are going on in our society. Could it be that some of the things that the judgments that are coming to the earth is because we don't keep God's commandments? He said they were to multiply, they were to increase, they were to inhabit. And the perversion had gotten so great that they weren't doing that anymore. And the fire of God came. And that, if you choose to look that up, you can, but they found proof of Sodom and Gomorrah in 2018. Yes. Hold on. I want to get...
I saw the documentary on that, actually. And the remnants of Sodom and Gomorrah, because the fire was so hot, it's like powder when you walk in some portions of where Sodom and Gomorrah was, because it had burnt to absolutely nothing. And they say that they keep this a big secret because of the way the city and the way it was destroyed by fire from heaven. And so they don't want all of the people to know that this archaeology find is even there anymore. But they have actually found the place.
And I remember when Brother Ralph did the study for the teaching, rather, on the Exodus. And there's a place near, I think, the Red Sea where they cross, where they have evidence of burn patches, you know, the fire by day. I mean, because people don't believe. So, that's why I included it in the outline. Could this have been because there was no longer increasing and expanding according to God's commandment regarding being productive, increasing, and filling the earth with good things? When our faith stops producing, stops multiplying, stops increasing, we're in dangerous territory. I'll just say Selah to that. So, nothing in the kingdom of God is stale or remains the same from day to day. God is always moving forward. That's the fill-in. You know, we sometimes coin cliches. It seems like nothing's happening, you know. But God is always moving. And if he's always moving, we have to be always moving, right? And then she talks about in this principle of constant motion, that there is turbulence before unity. Motion involves turbulence. Rivers are not always placid, peaceful places. You all know I'm from Virginia, and I don't remember how old I was, but there's a river that runs through, I think the main river is like Scottsville, Virginia. And I remember it as a child. But when I got to Richmond, Virginia, that same river is in Richmond, Virginia. And it's called the James River. And one year, I remember being in grade school, and they were talking about, I could not imagine, I think I was a fourth grader, in my mind, I was trying to imagine how so much water could be on the earth that these huge ships could sail. I mean, I just couldn't picture, because I'd never seen a ship. I had never seen the ocean at that point in my life. And it just, I could not fathom it. But I don't know how old I was. Maybe between 9 and 12-ish, I'm not sure. But the James River flooded. And there's a little area there, they call it Shaco Slip. And that was an area where my family often, there were little shops, and my mom would go there to get things for us, and there was a farmer's market. And I remember hearing that the James River had flooded. And there was a viaduct that people could go up on that was above this area. And you could not see the top of the market, the farmer's market. You knew it was there because I'd been there. We'd shopped there. But the water had covered it. You know, it was, and what's so interesting is that that happened twice, and they rebuild. Now there's this, I don't know, this concrete wall on some kind of, I don't know, what would it, can you tell me what it would be? Like they can open it and close it. Like a dike, but it's movable, you know? Yeah. So in case the James River flood, and those businesses, I can remember going down there when they were cleaning up, and I mean, the mud and the, you know, like, I mean, the stores that we had shopped in were full of water. And I thought, I mean, that really made me know that there was, I mean, I knew there was a God, but there was really a God, because nobody could make that much water, you know? And it all came from just a rainstorm, you know? So rivers are not always calm. Sometimes they're really strong, and they can be, they clear the path for things to come. But that's not the point of what I want to make here, the turbulence. It says they have rapid, strong currents, sometimes waterfalls. Huh? Turbulence. T-U-R-B-U-L-E-N-C-E. The point that she was making here, though, is that one river flowing into another is a powerful picture of what it looks like when God adds new things to what he already has in motion. And we're living in a time right now where he's doing just that. The old and the new are merging, some of the old's being done away with, and the new is replacing it. A good picture of this is marriage. Two rivers coming together, you know, a husband and a wife coming together. I wrote here, two visions become one. And they say that first year or two of marriage is probably the most turbulent because they are learning each other. You know, all the things that maybe were exciting and beautiful during the courtship turn into things, well, oh, I like that, you know, whatever. But as they work through those things, those two visions become a beautiful one union, you know? Also, when God begins a new movement or work on the earth, you know, and they say that sometimes the old vision is the hindrance to the new unless they learn how to work together. And I think about that when I think about our church. We have people from varied backgrounds, varied experiences, varied doctrinal teaching. And God brings us into, you know, we have many streams that have flowed into this river. But God makes us one. And together, we're stronger than we would ever be apart from each other. Amen? So we're a mighty force. You know, we're like that James that's just roaring, you know, and unstoppable. And I'm not saying the destruction or the earth or anything, but in terms of just being powerful in terms of what we can do. It says here, the benefit comes down the stream when these rivers, movements, relationships become a mighty force. Together, they are stronger than they were apart. So when we think about River of Life and the part we add to our river, it makes us stronger than we would be apart. Then she talks about, again, in the principle of faith being in constant motion, a prophetic symbol for forward motion. She shares an example of when she's going to college and her dad tells her he's going to buy her a car to take to school. I don't know that much about cars, but he goes to a junkyard. He buys her this old Bonneville. And I mean, it's kind of dented and rusty. He puts new tires on it. But when she's ready to leave for school, he tells her, when you're driving to school and you pull in somewhere, make sure you don't have to back up because the car won't go in reverse. And she says, you know, she was not grateful for that car. It made me think, and I've shared this story with you, that I had a car that I traded in that when it got hotter, you know, like the motor actually warmed up, that it wouldn't go in reverse. So I would take it early in the morning when it would still back up. But the revelation she got out of that prophetically later, and she said she always remembered this, is God doesn't want us to go backwards. He always wants us to go forward. And that car became a prophetic symbol for her, that she was to always move forward. There's a tendency in our humanness to go back, to think about the past, to reflect, to sometimes live there. That's not faith in constant motion. God wants us to go forward. So I would ask you to think about, and I think I put it in my note here. Let me just read this. It says, when we are tempted to get stuck in some negative emotion or circumstance, some destructive thought pattern or rational response, we can reflect on an experience, on a God experience, or an experience God has given us. And as Isabel said, shared with us, remember our Ebenezer stone or stones, because that'll keep us, that'll catapult us forward. Okay. And then the next one is local church life keeps faith in motion. She gives in this little book an example of her husband. He had gone to medical school. He was ready to start his residency. They prayed and agreed on where he should pursue his residency. And they decided, I think it was a seven-day Adventist hospital where he was going to do his residency. And the chances of him getting in there were almost null because, he wasn't a seven-day Adventist, and they usually chose people from, you know, their congregation. He did get in, and he met a gentleman, and it doesn't say in the book, but it sounds like it was a God encounter. This man told him about this church, because they were looking for a church to go to, that they should visit, and they went to the church. Prior to that, though, while he was in medical school, he had become very ill, I mean, even unto death. He got to the point where he couldn't walk. And the doctors were telling him he was going to be that way for the rest of his life. And she said she was out one day, and she came home, and her husband was walking around their apartment. Mind you, he had been in a wheelchair, unable to walk. He was up walking, praising God. And I think Guidepost did an article on him. So fast forward to, they're at this new church, and they get there. They didn't know it, but it was Benny Hinn's church. Benny Hinn, not knowing them at all, called them forward, began to prophesy over them. And what happened is those two rivers, Dr. Colbert and Benny Hinn's ministry, merged, the medical and the spiritual. And Don Colbert's books, because of that relationship, went all over the world. God set it up. So we don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. Well, to some degree I do. Because there are things that are happening in our lives that are happening because we are connected with each other. Because God had, he ordained it before the foundation of the world, that this group of people would be together. And because of the power or the contributions of each river, he had multiplication, increase, forwardness in mind, you know? Yeah. And I love, you know, when we did this some years ago when we talked about the culture of honor, you know, we don't know, I know each of you in certain ways, but I don't know all that I have to add to your life or all that you have to add to my life. The Bible says what iron sharpens iron. It's funny, I looked over at Miss Martha and I was talking to her. This was a couple weeks ago, and we were in the prayer room, and I was going in to pray for her, and I don't know, our conversation went in a different direction, and I shared something with her, and she started encouraging me. And we laughed about that because I'm thinking, I'm supposed to be praying for you, but you're encouraging me. Thank you. You know, we didn't plan that, you know, and how many times things like that happen. And then, you know, we went back to the course that we were on. It's like, and it's amazing, you know, what God does for us together. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it says the churn, and I looked that word up and it means turning or agitation, and spiritual activity of a healthy local church life are two main factors that keep our faith flowing. We gain critical support from believers around us in times of great celebration. I'm thinking about, you know, the babies that have been born in this church and how we celebrate with the mothers, you know. Times of heartache, you know, and loss, in need, and blessing. But the reality of Christ living in others constantly remind and challenge us to step into greater levels of faith. I think about just being around you guys, you know, hearing your testimony, hearing your experience, receiving words of encouragement. Like Pastor Tim, he will come, like today he did it. He prayed for me, you know. He'll just walk up to me and he'll say, "Can I pray for you?" And he'll just pray. I mean, it's amazing. Today in healing rooms, we got an opportunity to pray for a couple of our members. They were blessed, but weren't we blessed in praying for them? I mean, you just want to shout hallelujah, you know. But that happens in the local church. That stirs our faith and keeps it in motion, you know. Yes, it's very exciting. The local church is a place where we can use the gifts and talents God has given us to bless others. It's a local church that we provoke one another to good works. And that's in Hebrews 10:24. And then this last one, she talks about, again, in the principle of faith and constant motion, is that we're to let our faith flow powerfully. We're to have the kind of faith that excites God. You know, he looks for that. And a good example of faith that excites God is the Roman centurion. He was coming to Jesus to heal his servant. This is in Matthew 8:8-9. Jesus said he would go with him. Jesus said, "I'll go with you, you know, to heal your servant." But the centurion said he wasn't worthy of Jesus coming to his house. And he said, the centurion said to Jesus, "But only speak a word." You know, I thought about that when I was typing this. I said, you know that song, only a touch? You know, just takes one touch from Jesus, you know? Oh, well, he touched me. Ah, that makes me shake. He said, "And my servant will be healed." The centurion said, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And my servant, do this, and he does it." And Jesus responds to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This man had the kind of faith that excites God." Faith that excites God believes in supernatural results beyond what seems humanly reasonable. Amen? And that's how our faith should be. God bless you. Huh? Okay.
On the subject where you were talking about the example of the car, in my recent studies and prayers, I learned a couple things that resembles what you were saying about the car. First of all, going backwards is a way that Satan keeps sin upon us, because he keeps our mind on what we did in the past. But the example of the car also that God showed me was, if you're in the car driving and you look at the window and how large it is and how far you see, and you look at the rear view mirror and how small it is and how little you see, then you have the perfect example of going forward.
That's good. That's a good analogy. Yeah. So, Lord, we thank you that you're the God of our faith. You're the focus of our faith, Lord God. And, Lord, we want the kind of faith that excites you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And Father, we thank you that it is your faith. You know, I can't quote it verbatim, but it's your faith, Lord God. And if we just can understand and comprehend your faith working in us, Lord, the will and do of your good pleasure, Lord, concerning, you know, anything that we need, if we can pray and see from your vantage point, Lord God, our faith will constantly be moving, and it'll be moving toward you and the things that you've called us to do. So, Lord, we just thank you and we bless you. We thank you for your word that just every day encourages us and draws us closer to you. Father, I pray a blessing over your sons and daughters here today. And I thank you, Lord God, that we always find our faith in forward movement. In Jesus' name, amen.